Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hello, hello, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Sunny. I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me, and hello to all your viewers.
I'm
really excited to be here today.
Yes, we're so excited to have you as well, my friend. And I want to first start by reading your bio so people know a little bit about you, because you've got all kinds of training. I know that, but we want to get into, you know, what you're here to talk about. So Dr. Lena Fernandez is a licensed naturopathic doctor. She's an expert in the field of natural medicine. She lives with a mission to inspire, empower, and transform lives worldwide with natural therapies. Woohoo! Yay for that. Dr. Fernandez specializes in nutrition, mind-body medicine, and how to balance thyroid and hormones naturally. She is the CEO and founder of a thriving clinic, Moringa Natural Health Center, located in Sun City, Arizona, right down the street from me. Her personal life journey began in Europe, in Kosovo, where she was born and grew up on her family's organic farm. Awesome, my friend. Welcome. So happy to have you here.
Thank you so much.
All right. So I usually like to start just by, because a lot of the guests that I have on here are people that I know, and some are people that I don't know. And so I met Dr. Fernandez in probably January, maybe January, after having, as all of you have already heard about all my my hormonal health stuff, trying to help me get my my body healthier and stronger. So that's when I met Dr. Fernandez, and I am so excited to introduce you to her as well, because she's got a lot of, you know, I'm a big believer in the natural way. If at all possible, go natural. And that's what you do. I remember when I met you, one of the things you said is, I am a doctor, but I'm really a scientist. And so I'd love for you to tell the viewers just a little bit about what that means, like how you incorporate, you know, that science, because I know you're kind of into chemistry and creating this stuff that works for people, individuals. So how did you get into it first? Where did this even come from?
I always, even as a kid, my mom thought I was a crazy one, because I would literally go into my organic farm, mix my literally mud and all that and berries. I'm like, I'm going to put it in my face and then I'm going to be healthy. And then my mom said, you're the worst child I've ever seen. I mean, I had 9 other kids, but none of them did that. Like, what's going on with that? And I would eat it. I would try different things. And she would go to her neighbors like, is your kid doing that? Or is this my child being really crazy? And this was like from the time I was maybe 2 or 3 years old. I always tried things. And then so when I moved to the United States, my family and I immigrated here because of the political turmoil, the war back home. And we're homeless for a couple of years. And we're very fortunate to leave our town and our country. And then we immigrated to the neighbor country, Macedonia, where United Nations, we signed up to come to the United States and we're chosen to be here. So that's my short story. Wow. My long story short. And then when I moved here, imagine I started high school. I was 14 years old. We had a fast food store across the school. So I started eating all the things that I was never used to eating, all the processed milkshake for breakfast, ice cream for lunch and dinner. Mm-hmm. I got really sick. I gained over 40 pounds in the short few weeks. I started having acne, skin problems, joint pain, a hormone issue, talking about it. My cycles were all wear off. I was anxious, depressed. So I said, there has to be another way of, because every time I went to the doctor, conventional doctor, another pill piled up in my medicine cabinet. Mm-hmm. Medicine cabinet where I come from is all herbs and fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. So by the time I was 18, 18 years old, I was taking 5 different medications, all of that were causing side effects. Mm-hmm. So then, for me, even during high school, I had this passion of doing research and development, figuring out the root cause of what's really going on. More for me was just developing and creating chemicals that were least invasive. But then as I became, you know, understanding my own health struggles, I had this aha moments. And it was actually doing research where we were conducting on environmental toxicity, how lead and cadmium affects your body system and how it stays in your system for years. and how that affects your hormones, how it causes brain damage, tumors, like cancer, gut issue, leaky gut. So that's when I had that aha moment. It's like, what if I, and then after many struggles, I had a friend said, you got to give it a try seeing someone who's more natural that digs deeper. So how I approach with science, to make a short story, I'm a chemist, I'm a scientist, but also I approach my patient's health in a way that it's very, everyone is individualized. You have to understand the root cause. And this is why when my patients come to me initially, I do 360 degree views of their body system. So let's take, for instance, hormone issue. You may say, well, I have night sweats, or I'm gaining weight, or joint pain, or low libido. Okay, so we already know that there are systems that is compromised, and that we call that adrenals or hormones. Mm-hmm. But then not only that, oftentimes is also metabolism, like thyroid and the gut. So by looking at the deeper core, at the root cause, then I can customize meal, you know, there, whether it's meal planning or supplementation route or intravenous treatments that are all more natural to help and heal and absorb 100% intravenously. If it's IV treatments, like you come in, Sunny, and get the health back and maintain it, or any other aspect. And then we put on maintenance where you just keep, it's like, you know, it's like an, imagine if we all drive cars. Well, if you don't look at and reassess the engine, the car oil, and change the oil and put the new one, sooner or later it's going to break down. It doesn't matter how new, brand new you got it. So that's how I approach, and that's where my science come in. And I love it because, you know, there was that time in my life where I used to think, well, there is a pill that can solve our problems. But the truth is there isn't. And I hate to tell you, if there was, I would figure out. I mean, I did research and development for biggest pharmaceutical too, where we did research on how vaccines work, how antibiotics work, steroids, opioids, and things like that. And we're constantly creating new chemicals. And then I had this, again, this aha moment. Why are we creating more? We don't need more. We need to educate our patients and take a step back. If you're like, have no sense of way of balance your mental emotional state, and you're stressed out, you're unhappy, there you could take like 200 medications. None of that's going to solve it for you. So that's what we find. Everyone is individualized. Everyone is personalized care. And that's what people love it. And we have such great success because we're not treating them, just shooting things at them and hoping, you know, something is going to stick. That makes sense.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, so you talked a little bit about, you know, finding a natural journey, you know, whether that's natural foods or, but also, isn't it about kind of the state of the mind and the state of our emotions? And because I know that one of the big things that you're big on is kind of nature, which obviously you grew up in that, right? And then connecting meditation and things like that. So as a doctor, scientist, what do you see is the best option when you have whatever it is you have going on? Because I think so often people they look just for the pill. And I've always said, you know, the body is important, but it's only one aspect of, you know, we're these mind, body, spirit, emotional beings. So when you are giving suggestion to people, how do you approach people that are new to this? They're like, just give me some medication. So, because I'm sure you get that, right? So how do you help them move, and what do you have them focus on? Because I would assume meditation and things like that are a part of a practice that's so important.
Absolutely. When my patients come to me, whether it's virtual, you know, different states or countries or local, we spend about an hour and a half together. So during that initial visit, I can get, you know, from over experience, seeing thousands of cases, I can have a really good idea where their imbalances are. Is it mental, emotional? Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Is it something major trauma they've had in the past and never let go? So, and based on that, you know, so when a lot of my patients say, I can't believe I came here and you made me cry, then, you know, they're already releasing all the stress that they've been going on for so long. You know, we had just recently this morning, the patient said, you know what, I've been given. My family members don't understand that I need to take care of myself. For 77 years of my life, I've been given to my family. I've given it to my mom. I've been given to my spouse. I've given to my children. And now that I'm not feeling so well, they don't get it because they're so used to taking. So then we work on the mind and body aspect of taking their power back. Yeah. So doing some meditation, some breathing without feeling guilty. Because I think what happens is that when we're used to giving so much, when we say no, we start feeling guilty. And that was me, you know, seeing my family members on weekend or taking care of them when I needed time for me to heal and recover. Does it make sense? Sure. So when all of my patients also, if I see that there are some emotional or mental emotional aspect, I educate them, you know, I may refer them to you or someone who can work on the deeper aspect of mind body or counseling, because especially this the last few months of what was been going on, the mental health just skyrocketed in our society. So I'm like, I can't do this alone. And I do believe our patients also, I always tell them, hey, you need one or two or team members that you can trust to help you go through this journey. It's okay. You're not crazy for needing a counselor. You're not, you know, crazy for home going to see Sunny so he can help you take your power back more, talk to you, spend time with you. But definitely I will have a better idea when it comes in and I can customize whether referring them out or we might do acupuncture treatment here, help them just focus basic deep breathing. And if that's not enough when it comes to mind body, then I can always refer that to someone who's more expert. Like my ego is like very low. At least I like to think if my patient needs someone else, like, you know what? You can still continue doing here where we can balance your hormones, where we can have your physical aspect taken care of, because that's one aspect. You're not giving me that. People say, but I'm taking vitamin C over the counter. That should be enough for my immune system. I don't know. We need to figure out how bad it is, first of all, right? Sure. And what else is going on? Because just popping things in your mouth and not even, you know, ignoring the aspect of mind-body, it's worthless as well. Yeah. So we all, especially weight gain, my patients who are looking to lose weight, who are overweight, whether it's from wanting to lose 5 pounds or 250, 300 pounds, we always have to start back to mind-body. You know, like, you know how to, you know, say no to sugar. But, you know, we always, you know, that's all. Now holidays are coming. But, you know, they're my mom and dad or my sister and brothers, they make this delicious recipe and I got to have it. And then all of a sudden at the end of the, you know, visit, I end up eating the whole cake. So that's when it comes, you know, say no to control your, because yes, it's hormonal, but also it's mental, emotional. It's the habits that we're used to going through easy way of, instead of not having to think through, I'm teaching them to think through before they proceed. So it varies depending on the treatment protocol and how I approach. But most importantly for me, at the end of our work, of our time, I'm hoping that they get to be balanced mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, the whole body aspect of dimensional. They're taking control of their own health versus of their illnesses taking control. And all of my cases are very challenging cases because I'm their last resort. You know, when people are sick, they don't come to me first. They go to their other specialists that are in their insurance list. You know, even in the last few weeks, few months, I see patients come in, they've been to the hospital 3-4 times in the last 30 days. They're still sick. They've been on several rounds of antibiotics. They've been on steroids. They've been on all that. They're still not feeling good. So then come to me. Then not only do I have to get their health body back, but then I have to clean all this toxins they put through in their body. So it's like yummy. So it's all very, very individualized, but it's very unique what we've created here. And I'm very proud of our team and our patients because all of our patients know by the time they come to me that something has to change. The old ways no longer can get them where they want to be. If they want to reverse diabetes, they can no longer say, oh, but my mom gave me a cookie. You know, you're an adult. You know, or I'm just eating diet soda because my wife brings it at home and thinks diet soda is healthier than regular soda, you know. So we teach them how to take their power back and how to say no and how to take control of their own life, because at the end, we are the solution. We are the solution. We have to take our control of our own health, our own life, our own success, whatever it is that we want to accomplish. It is up to us the journey we want to take, but it's going to take some commitment for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because nobody's going to do it for you, right? Like that's just not possible. Even the doctors can't do it for you. They can just help you to get there if you choose to follow and take the step. Okay, I've got several people are asking since you talked about hormones, and then we'll go into a question I had for you about trauma. Why do women gain weight during or after menopause? What is the big thing there, would you say?
So when we enter menopause, so our hormones start slowing down 5 to 10 years before we enter menopause. But we're in a society where we wait until we have symptoms of weight gain, until we have symptoms of night sweats. The reason when we enter menopause and things go south is because your uterus and ovaries are retired. They're no longer producing hormones that keep us, our hormones more balanced, like the appetite, all the stressors hormones, like we talked even in my life, every life when I go on my Facebook and I talk about different hormones like the ghrelin and also the other hormones that suppresses our appetite. So those hormones get off hook basically think of like you are once we enter menopause, we're releasing a dog in the field that's never been trained. It's going to attack anybody. Mm-hmm. So now we haven't been taking a proactive approach, making sure that we're taking care of, looking at our systems. I always encourage my patients, don't wait till menopause to look at your system like thyroid, hormones, and gut. Because by the time you're menopause and you start gaining weight, your systems have been compromised for at least 5 to 10 years. We don't even know. Plus, why do we gain? So that's one, because ovaries and uterus, take a break. We don't have those two organs that have been essential in producing hormones anymore. Now the adrenals take over, but adrenals, it's like, you know, you're driving a car with just front tires. Those will get tired too. We're going to break down eventually. So stress is a major, so stress when I'm talking, I'm just not talking about physical stress like pain or migraines or headache, or I'm not just talking about mental, emotional could be aspect of it too, but it could be also chemical and just generally speaking, physiological changes inside of our body. That's the reason. And as the two essential organs take a break, other ones aren't as healthy as we used to think they are because they've been overly stressed. So that's really when we gain weight. And then by the time a woman comes to me and say, I've been in menopause 5-10 years, they've already gained 40, 50 pounds. So now we have to work harder. The only way to help you lose weight and keep it off for good is we got to balance those stress hormones. We got to balance those systems first, bring up your hormones so you get to lose weight without having to starve yourself or having to go to gym. Because a lot of people think, I have to lose weight and have to go to gym every single day, you know, twice a day. Some people come to me, it's like, I went to gym twice a day for like 90 days. I lost 20 pounds and I gained 30 after I stopped doing that. Right now, that's not the idea. I think that we have to make sure that we're getting to the root cause. Well, that's the main reason, or because our systems, half of our, at least those systems that are essential to regulating our metabolism, have been slowed down and even taken a break now when we enter menopause, and everything else, it slows down with it because we, you know, we've had so many years in front of us. By the time we enter menopause, we're 45, 50 years old. That's 50 years we've had in front of us, right? It's not, at age is just, it, number is, what age it is? What is that saying? Age is just
a number. Age is just a number.
Age is just a number. I don't know, age is just a number, but at the same time, we've carried this body for so long. It all going to depend on how well we've taken care of during this journey. That's going to determine on how healthy we're going to be for the rest of our lives. I hope I answered that question.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you did. And here's a follow-up. Is there hormone replacements that you suggest? Like, do you do kind of a compound type of hormone support for people? Or is there something, like, I think the question is, this one is, that assists with metabolism, but it really isn't just a metabolism thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more complicated. I think when I do, you know, there are some of my men and women on bioidentical hormones, which are, you know, I compound them as a scientist. I formulate them and I just have my pharmacist put it together for them. It's plant-based. Okay. In some cases, in other cases, there may not be a good, just a good fit at that time for them, depending on, because we don't want to throw things at you and you still have toxins in your body. Just throwing testosterone in your body, but yet you're missing zinc and selenium, all these cofactors, all these little minerals and vitamins that carry them around, it's going to be worthless. You're going to waste time, money, and energy. So when it comes to balancing your hormones, what I do with all my patients, I make sure that we dig deeper, figure out nutrient deficiencies. We make sure we look at the hormones. We look at the metabolism. That's why I'm saying these three systems, we constantly are evaluating, because you're right. It's not just about, oh yeah, give me a pill that can stimulate my thyroid because I know thyroid is good for weight loss. It's not like that. People think that, but it's not. Yeah. Because sooner or later, you're going to get to the frustration mode, which all of my patients have tried everything and anything out there, especially for weight loss. And they're like, well, I'm stalled. Or they go through bariatric surgery. They remove part of their body, you know, their intestines, mm-hmm. which is, I think it's crazy. And now they're having other autoimmune conditions on top of that and more side effects. And they gain more weight than they were before. So it's like, I think as a society, we need to start understanding, take a step back. Okay, how's my life been? How stressed have I been in the last 5-10 years? What kind of lifestyle have I lived? Did I practice the most basic essential things that we did as a kid? Like make sure we're sleeping good, making sure that we're drinking enough water, making sure that we're happy every single day. You know, we find joy. We do things that are actually bringing joy and energy to us instead of things that take energy from us and that kind of drain us, right? Make sure that we live in an environment where we thrive a lot of people I know, especially when it comes to my patient care, and I've helped thousands of thousands, they're very unhappy. They're unhappy because of their life situation. They're at home. They're unhappy because of life situation at work. They're unhappy because of some sort of factor. And then we are only responsible for our own happiness. We got to figure out what to do, how to do, and how to make that change. Doesn't matter what age, and you have to take a step back and figure out what is it that missing link, and then put those kind of piece of puzzle together so you have a really good, a solid routine that's going to help you stay healthy, be healthy for the rest of your life. When I see my patients, you know, come here, they're already cancer, you know, they're cancer patients. It's very sad when I see cancer patients because they're already deteriorated. Their body system being compromised for, again, at least 20 years. Cancer doesn't just show up overnight. It's been, you know, growing and growing, and you know, it's been your body system being compromised for so long that hence this thing grows up because the immune system is so compromised. Right. So that's my goal, is to get work on prevention with my patients, but that's only less than 1% of my patients that come to me that want to work on prevention. Usually those are professional athletes or people who know that they got to be healthy or they don't have, they can't have the job, you know, right. Things like that. Right. Usually the reporters or things like that. So, but 99% of the rest of my patients are very sick. Hormone issue, fibromyalgia, diabetes, cancer, pain, chronic pain, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here's a question for you. So you said that you have a process that helped you specifically overcome major trauma and get present in the moment. So can you share that with us?
You know, my self-mastery for me, it's about going life, you know, where I'm always learning from. I have mentors, educators, mind, body, physicians, and myself that I go through just so I can be better for me, so I can be better for others. Because the only way to live my mission is that I'm absolutely the best health. When you have your mind, your body, your soul, they're all aligned, you're like, no, you're going to be like a kick-ass, badass person. Nobody can touch you. Not even pandemic. I tell my patients, you know, when you're cool, you know, you're super healthy, nothing can touch you. You know, don't worry about it. So for me, when I moved to the United States, I was obviously a major trauma, going through war, losing everything. I didn't speak any word English. I didn't know anybody to turn to. I had to figure things out on my own. And I used to see a counselor because every time I went to the doctor, again, they were telling me, well, you're in war. You know, you went through war. You have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You just need to take medications. You should be fine. Well, it turned out that wasn't the case. I was just causing more side effects. So I had to take a step back and realize on really the best way to get to heal through trauma, past trauma, is that you acknowledge it is there. And it's, for some people, it takes longer than other to acknowledge that the trauma, it happened and it's there. And instead of feeling guilty and feeling a victim, how about we turn that around and look at it as a warrior, really warrior. Hey, what have I learned from it? I was, during the war, I was lost for 6 months. I was 12 years old. I didn't know where my family members were. So I had to learn to survive on my own for 6 months, a 12 year old. Imagine that, right? I finally said, you know, and I remember one thing my mom said my mom is also, she grew up disabled with a disability, hearing disability. She used to always say, you know, there's going to be a time in your life. She's very intuitive. A time in your life where your strength is really going to be tested. And I think for me, it was during childhood. And the next time, it was now, during this pandemic, having to deal with a lot of sick people. So what happened during the past, so when I looked at it, and it kind of, for me, it looked at, okay, so my past experience, it really taught me how to be stronger. The past experience told me to be more vulnerable, to be more emotional in a sense, because we're used to, as a human being, like, just hold things in you. Don't let that out, right? The vulnerability is actually a good thing. You know, you don't have to feel like you're strong when you're needing help. Right. The other thing is that you look at the past as a learning experience. I believe everything we go through is there for a reason. Nothing is coincidence. Everything we go through is a learning lesson. So I've learned from my past to learn and appreciate things that I have. So my family, even during the war, when we were homeless, we had everything. We had our own Whole Foods store. We had everything we ever wanted. And we lost it all. So we had to learn, even during the time, 2 years that we were homeless, we had to learn to be present and appreciate one another, to connect with one another. And I think this time kind of similar to the situation that we're going through right now. The only good thing is we have the roof above our head. We have everything we want. But in a sense that people are panicking. So instead of panicking, know that we had each other. We had my family, my brothers and sisters. We're all separated sometime, but at the end, we all got together. And I think looking at from perspective, from that experience itself, is to be present and know what you got now so you can appreciate what you have now. Instead mm-hmm. of saying, where people say, I'm just going to be very happy when I lose 20 pounds. I'm going to look sexy. I'm going to go on a date again, and I'm going to do this and that. Or I'm going to go to gym. You'll be surprised how many people say, I don't want to go to gym because I just don't like my body. It's like, that's when you go to the gym. When
right.
you know, why do you want to go to gym when you're... So that's my experience, you know, be present. And in the last few months, you know, for me, I am very grateful for everything I have. I have a very good life here. Just kind of what we had in the back home. I have an amazing family, an amazing husband who's been my rock star for the past 16 years. He's been my best friend. He's been there. And knowing that I have someone, no matter what, even if I fall hard, I have someone who's going to look after me. And I think it's important to evaluate these things. Who do we have in our lives that it's really there that wants only the best for us? And if you were like, literally take a step back, we have few people. We're not alone in this world. There are people who want to help us. So I'm always present. I'm always grateful for what I have. I'm grateful for the fact that I have patients who really are committed and loving and caring just as much as I am to them. They teach me. I teach them. They teach me. You know, they're mm-hmm. always a learning lesson for me. I'm learning so much from them. So that's how I deal with, especially when we like to call it chaotic situation. I look at the present moment. And then I think one of my mentors made a really good comment a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, we don't want to look past 2 weeks because then we stress out. You know, what do we do in our society? We want to know what the hell, you know, our life is going to be like in the last 10 years. You know, that puts more stress. For me, it's being present, being knowing that I have an amazing family, amazing career that I love. I'm very passionate about what I do. And there's nothing else that I would rather do. And I think finding your passion, it's important because when you're passionate about something, regardless of how difficult it gets, you know that that's what you love to do. There's nothing else you could rather do. Or there's no other family members that you'd rather be around, even though they're crazy and loud. I call my European crazy and loud my family. Hey, we're almost all of us are together finally 20 years later. We're mm-hmm. spread apart. And now, you know, one of my brother just moved here 3 years ago. He waited about 16 years for the document to be approved to come to the United States. We united. But, you know, wow. So things slowly come together, you know. But that's what led me to how I stay calm and have, instead of looking at my past trauma as like, oh, my gosh, I'm such a victim. I was like, I'm a warrior. I've learned a lot from it. And now I'm just going to teach everyone else that we go through some difficult situations. It's how we perceive it. It's mm-hmm. it's how even the most difficult challenge and experiences, which we all have gone through those times. I'm sure we all have gone through those. It's how we perceive it. So instead of looking at the victim perspective, let's look at the warrior perspective and strengthen us instead of weakening us.
Yeah. Well, and choose to, I mean, it's a conscious choice to step into that and say, okay, this didn't happen to me. There's actually got to be some value in it. So then it's happened for me. And and that's that present moment of, okay, so even if you have to make up a story about why it happened for you, it changes your mindset, which then changes the energy, which then changes what you create down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay. How do you yourself, sounds like present moment is a big deal for you and getting kind of out of the victim mode. How do you stay in that place of like inner calm, inner peace when you're in the middle of a pandemic and you have people calling you at all hours and, you know, it's chaotic. So appreciation, I hear that for the moment and presence. Anything else that helps you?
I have a very solid routine, like personal solid routine where I don't deviate from it. I make sure that I get at least 8 hours of sleep. I need sleep. I am not one of those people who can go. I mean, I used to, you know, when I was during my residency in medical school, I used to like, you know, sleep 3 hours because that's the only time I had and then keep running, you know, and I can't do that anymore. You know, I'm getting too old for that. I tell my feet, I'm too old for that. Don't call me at 1 a.m., you know. So I have a routine. I go to bed on time, like the latest 9 p.m. I wake up at 5. The first thing I go when I wake up is I journal. I just say a prayer, not just for me, but for my patients, for my family, for the world. And then I go into meditation. I like to calm myself. I get a lot of I don't know if you call it downloads, but I just get like just the message that I need for the day, what I need to happen through my meditation, because I'm going into a deeper relaxation, and that takes time. It took me, you know, I'm used to be a very anxious person. So me calming down, staying for 5 minutes, laying down or sitting through meditation and closing my eyes, it seemed impossible. But mm-hmm. over time, you become an expert. How do you become an expert? You practice more. And I never deviate from that. And I make sure I exercise every day. Even if it's 5-10 minutes, I have my home gym. So I don't usually go to gym because I don't have time to. I never know what my day going to look like. I like to have schedule ahead of time. So I schedule my day usually the evening before. And then the morning of, I just look at. I just know exactly, not necessarily schedule, but it's 2 or 3 things I need to do. And I remind myself. So I work out, go out, either I'm going on the treadmill or I'm doing some weightlifting on some just extra strength training, and or I may just go on elliptical for a few minutes to raise my heart up so I can, you know, increase my blood flow and increase my immune system and so forth, increase my energy. The other thing is I make sure that I eat clean. I do my meal planning a week before. So every Sunday, I make sure I go grocery. I get the things that I'm only going to eat that's healthy for me. And I like chocolate. So I know chocolate's sugar. So I make sure if I like chocolate, it's dark chocolate, 99 or 100%. And I'm only going to eat that on Sundays or a little bit on, you know, things, days that I'm allowed to. So I have a routine, strict routine, because when I deviate from it, then I may feel a little sluggish and I may not be able to focus. And I'm helping patients who come to me who are very chronically ill. They don't deserve it. I always tell it, hey, you don't deserve a doctor who can't function, you know, right. Who's 100% present and understand your case and understand biophysically, chemically, what the imbalances are and understand your just you as a whole, as a body. So for me, it's very important that I come to clinic very well prepared so we can take care of as many patients that day as possible.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good point is really what you're saying is you walk your talk. You're telling everybody what to do and you're actually following through with it. And here's just a side note for those of you that are watching is many of the things that Lena said to follow as far as kind of your morning routine, they're exact same things that I do. So a gratitude or intention or prayer, meditation, or getting the guidance and the download, moving my body. I move my body every single day for 30 minutes. Whether that's weights or walking or what have you, and getting into that kind of present moment. And the only thing that's different is I call in my angels on as well. So that morning routine, I think that people don't realize how important that is because it keeps you showing up in a mind, body, spirit, emotional alignment, and it starts your day that way. And if you don't start your day, if you don't create your day, then your day, I always say, is created for you.
Exactly.
Oh, and that's not ever fun. Yeah. Those are the days that we want to go back to bed and go, oh, shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then your team, your community, your people need you, the best version of you. Mm-hmm. So how do we become the best version of you? We continuously work on ourselves, continuously remind ourselves on, I need to make sure that I'm taken care of. And I tell my patients too, listen, if you like this, even the today, just before I hopped in here, I saw patients like, I'm just giving. There's a time now to say no, learn how to say no. I have my own routine every morning. So instead of waking up at 5 a.m., making everybody breakfast, I'm going to work on me. You know,
right.
You don't feel guilty about it, because the stronger you are, your surroundings are going to feel that. We're all energy field, right? We all absorb what we release. And we don't think about that, but we could be millions of miles away. We're still, you know, we absorb what we release and vice versa. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's an important reminder, especially in today's world, we're taking on the energy of the world. And so if you are not healthy, then you're sucking all that shit in, and that does not feel good. It's not healthy for you. So awesome. Awesome. All right. Now I see that you have an ebook. That delicious and simple recipes for increasing energy, losing weight, improving overall health. So are those your recipes?
Yes. So meal planning is very important for me. So I know they're simple because I don't have time. So they're simple, but they're delicious, and they really do, you know, food is your medicine, no matter how you look at. So I put together like good healthy fats meals and all the nutritious low carb kind of way of meal planning that I put together for, I think it's 7 days or something like that, where people can just at least get an idea what I eat. That's exactly what I eat. So this way, at least you get get healthier in a sense. You're eating a little bit healthier, making some adjustments of what your body needs to heal and recover versus, or you're reacting. And I think what happens in our society, we're always reacting to everything. Mm-hmm. We're reacting to social media. We're reacting to foods. We're reacting to life. We're reacting to our spouses. We're reacting to our kids. But we're not actually proactively getting prepared or proactively approaching things. So I think meal planning becomes important, especially for those who are just on the fly or just eat whatever it's on the table or whatever it's available. Or I'm tired at the end of the day. I hear this a lot from my patients. I work 10 hours or 8 hours, and then the last thing I do before I go home is I go to fast food and get a burger, a triple burger, whatever those called, with some french fries and ketchup, and then that's my dinner. Well, that's empty nutritious. Like, you have no nutrients, any values there. And this is why I see 99% of my patients are nutrient deficient. And I used to think we're only deficient if you live in a third world country. We don't have foods to eat. But that's not the case here. We're one of the greatest country and richest country in the world. But yeah, we're so deficient. So what you put in your body, it's a mind body. It starts there, being conscientious, being really aware of what it is that you're putting in your body. And the other thing is this meal plan, it just kind of gives you an idea of what it is that I eat, and I recommend to also my patients who I really want to get their health back, stay healthy, and be strong for the rest of their life.
Yeah, for sure. In agreement. Okay, here's a kind of a question comment. The limbic brain is where anxiety lives at the hypothalamus. To work with therapies that nurture and regulate us limbically has been shown in recent scientific studies to be successful with treating trauma and anxiety. Are you familiar with scientific studies that kind of support the unorthodox therapies like equine therapy, art therapy, yoga therapy, etc.? Are those things you recommend in addition to nutrition and all of the different support?
Absolutely. I always tell my patients, what is it you like to do?
Yeah.
I can draw. Like, no matter how much I draw, I can only draw a straight line. If art is what you love, tune to it. Tune in what you like. I like to do things that help me connect with people. That's what brings happiness and joyful to me. Mm-hmm. I like to be in nature. That's what I'm my favorite. I can't do yoga every day because that's just too slow for me. I have to be moving.
Me too.
So if yoga is your thing, or art is your thing, or meditation is your thing, practice it every day, master it every day, because that's going to be a way for you, a therapy for you to help and heal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Any of those, there's a ton of science behind any of those, because that's all that's to help. What is that doing? Helping you relax, helping you put in a parasympathetic state. Guess what? That's helping your limbic system, your literally all of our body system, mind, body connecting, and as a whole relaxation state, where instead of, because this is one thing that I see with 99% of my patients, that every one of them is in this fight or flight response. Like, damn it. Like, what is wrong with you? There is no bear behind you. Why are you so stressed out? Well, this and that and this and that. They come up with 2,000 excuses. How about get rid of all the 2,000 excuses and put zero excuses and figure out why are you stressed in the first place? And if art is the way for you to de-stress, keep doing that. I'm absolutely a huge fan of what works for you. Hey, keep doing it. Don't change that. Don't try to like run a marathon if you never ever run a mile in your life just because somebody told you to do it.
Right. Exactly. Amen. And besides, if you're running, I think you're a little on the crazy side.
I don't have to be no more.
All right, my friend. So I've got some just off the cuff fun questions for you to answer now. Okay.
Yes.
All right. What was your first job?
Gosh, when I moved here, my first job was I worked at a fast food store. I was I was underage, actually. I was 15 years old. My brother, he was 2 years older than me. He got a job there. He was doing so good. And then they needed to hire someone. It was actually a Domino's pizza place. Somebody asked me, do you need someone? I was like, my sister wants to get a job, but we're not letting her because nobody's hiring her because she's not 16. And I was like, okay, bring your sister in. So we start a couple of years later, we're actually running the business. pizza. Of course, we were like running. My brother was like a supervisor and I was his assistant, whatever. But of course, that was my first job. And that was my goal, was to continue growing and learning and continue my education. And when I left there, everybody was sad and tired. And it was sad that my brother first went to college. He left couple years before me. You went to U of A and I went to ASU. So kind of we fell apart from working in the industry. But that was my first job. And first, you know, when I started working there, I didn't really speak very well English. I still spoke good enough, but we just worked hard. We showed up. We showed our, no matter what kind of environment you work, our work ethic always showed up because this is how we were taught from our parents that any kind of work that you do, you got to give it the best. For me, I started as literally cleaning bathrooms, you know, wiping floors and the tables. And then all of a sudden I was making pizza and all of a sudden I was doing cashier, little different things. I was growing every single time. So, but that was my first job. And yeah.
So how did the rivalry in the household, U of A, ASU, U of A, ASU, that's usually a little rivalry. Did that come up or was it all cool?
But yeah, my brother and I are still best friends. We still are. But since he went to U of A, we become enemies. No, it's kidding.
My brother lives in Tucson, and he didn't go to U of A. And my sons went to ASU. And so we always, like, even in the bedroom that I have here, where they come up from Tucson, they stay here a lot. I have ASU decorations just to piss them off.
I tell them, you keep your U of A hat and your head, and then I'll keep mine, and that's it. You know, I'm done.
I love it. All right. What is your greatest quality?
My greatest quality is just in general speaking in life, I would say. Is that what you're asking? Yeah. I really, for me, the quality is being 100% present to people that are in front of me. And that's usually my family, my patients, my colleagues, Sunny, anybody that's in front of me. I like to be able to be present 100% because our time is very valuable. I don't know if you realize that as human beings, but we're only in this universe for a limited time, in a sense, right? Physical body, right? So we want to leave the best impression, even if it's like 2 minutes. Hey, you know, we go to grocery store. If you see someone needs help or you see someone is not as healthy, I just smile, say, hi, you know, hi, do you need help? And they think I work there because I'm asking for help. No, I don't work, but you know, I'm good. You know, that was a few weeks ago, people were like upset. They didn't have enough toilet paper. And I was trying to share them a little bit. You know what? Hey, there's worse than being toilet and not having toilet paper. I was homeless for 2 years. I didn't have anything. The only thing we had was literally a piece of bread that we shared among seven of us. Mm-hmm. So the quality is just being present, whether it's your family members, your family, people that you love, just absolutely enjoy every single moment and spend time away from technology and social media, because I think that's killing our society. I think we're spending more time texting and messaging, and I see this all the time. And even when I go out, I'm whether we go to a restaurant or we go hang out, I'm always observing, because I'm observant. I see family members are together, but not really present. You know, they're every teenager or every human being. Yeah. I was like, what quality is that? I don't feel quality of life to me. I mean, if I'm going to be present with my people, I'm going to be 100% present. And if I'm not happy, I'm going to tell I babysit my niece and nephew every weekend. I tell them, yes, you want to auntie to babysit because we have fun. But you're not going to be playing on computer. You're not going to be playing on your phone or your Minecraft body thing, whatever that is. And then they understand it. So it's all about educating. But that's a quality for me. It's being present 100% and also making sure that you hear them and they hear you. Does that make sense? So I think that's important. And the more you're present, the more we kind of shut out all the sympathetic state where the fight or flight response, stress stuff, and we come more calm.
Yeah, come more internally. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, last question. What's your greatest challenge?
I think my greatest challenge, I have to say, is just say no to people. Even though I tell, you know, everybody else say no, you know, that's because, especially to my family members, because I'm very close to my family, my brothers and sisters, my husband, you know. So saying no, it's the greatest challenge, or even to my patients, you know, hey, I need to be here in later time and, you know, get an IV treatment or get a special treatment. Can you just stay an hour later? Like, sure, you know. So I think that's my greatest challenge in learning. But I'm learning more and more to say no, because if I burn myself out, that I can give back. You know, I can't, you know, what is that saying? You can't give from empty cups. So I'm trying to get to that point where I don't feel guilty, but still saying no in a good way and give a reason. I think that's a good thing without feeling like the guilt and going home. It's like, man, I wish I did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a challenge for a lot of us, sister, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Awesome, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. I have a somebody on here, Sabat Debbie B, who says, one day someone asked me, what's Dr. Lena like? And I quoted another doctor and said, Dr. Lena is a modern time Mother Teresa.
Oh.
That's a pretty great compliment.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, because I think we're in this planet to give. I mean, to give to each other, to help each other, to share the knowledge, the wisdom, the love with each other. Because I'm like, if I leave this universe, at least I want one human being to say, I got my life back, and I'm doing the living the life I live because Dr. Fernandez just said something or did for me that causes aha moment and helped me get out of this comfort zone, help me think outside of the zone, help me be the better version I am. So hopefully one day I get to do that. I mean, I know we're helping a lot of people, and I know I'm helping a lot of people out there, but I'm still, you know, there's more to do and more to do.
For sure. I hear you. I'm with you on that one, my friend. Awesome. Well, thank you so very much for joining us. We have people that are commenting beautiful things and saying how you are the best. And, you know, when you said, you know, I really try to be present with my patients, I know, having gone to have those vitamin treatments, that is an absolutely true statement that you absolutely do that, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on and just share. And I know you've been busy, 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 but if people do want to get a hold of you, because do you do tele sessions as well? So if you live out of state or out of the country, then you can still contact Dr. Fernandez's office. And the website is mnhcaz.com. And I'll put it in here, mnhcaz.com. It's Moringa Natural Health Center of Arizona, I'm assuming, .com. So I'll put the link in. If you guys want to track her down and get connected with her, you absolutely can. Thank you so much, my friend. It was so great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so good to see you. And I hope that your viewers got a good, some information and some inspiration. And I can't wait to see you soon.
Absolutely. You got it. Thank you. Mwah. Have a good one. Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.